Yle Podcast.
Hello and welcome again to All Points North, the Yle News podcast about Finland that's here to help put some strong opinions into your weekend. Today's guest is fearless media personality, writer, and pundit Tuomas Enbuske, and he'll offer his insights on empathy in Finland, a possible start to the political silly season, tax breaks for the rich, and much more.
This is the All Points North podcast, telling you everything you need to know about Finland this week.
Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome to All Points North. I'm Mark Odom from Yle News, and today I'm joined by our very own Denise Wall. How you doing today, Denise?
Well, I'm fantastic. It's great to be here because that means we or I have made it through yet another week.
That's right. And today's guest is the TV and radio host and outspoken columnist and member of the Finnish Twitterati, Tuomas Enbuske. Welcome to APN.
Pleasure to be here. Nice to be here.
It's so great to have you. Yeah. Now, let's get right into things. You're quite a well-known figure in Finnish media, but many people in our English, predominantly English-speaking audience, may not be familiar with a Finnish language pundit. And by way of introduction, I'll just say that you've gained or maybe cultivated a reputation as something of a provocateur. Could you just quickly describe for people listening how it is that you came to find your voice?
Well, given the fact that if most of the audience is originally English-speaking, I don't know all the countries or nationalities that they have, but given that they're, for instance, from the United Kingdom or United States, so my style of like writing columns or being provocative wouldn't be anything special in the United States or United Kingdom.
That's not exclusively our audience. We have a lot of people who are using English as to access what's happening in Finland, but it's not necessarily their native tongue.
Yeah.
So, for example, we have a lot of followers from Spanish-speaking countries, mm-hmm. from Arabic-speaking countries, for example. And just to give a broad sense for everyone who may not know where you're coming from, tell us all about that.
Yeah, but like, I don't know if you already mentioned this buzzword, politically incorrect. So my point would be that in the United Kingdom or United States, I would not be politically incorrect. But in Finland, I am, because like Finns are not just used to that sort of like conversation where it's not personal, like we discussing topics. I'm like when I'm criticizing, I have been criticizing the president of Finland. I've been criticizing the prime minister of Finland and the foreign minister of Finland, minister of foreign affairs, and that's nothing personal. Of course, I don't have anything against them personally. I have got something against because of their position, and Finns pretty often don't understand that. They think that that's offensive or whatever. And my angle and my point, which is very, very important to me, is that I always like kick upwards. Mm-hmm. I would never criticize like Big Brother celebrities or whatever. I only criticize them, those that are using power.
Yes.
And that's like when I read like columns from British medium or whatever. So I truly appreciate the style they doing it.
You wrote a column kind of along that line about in Iltalehti last Sunday about the topic of Finland having become a more empathetic country and less cynical. How did you come to that arrival? How did you come to that conclusion?
There are certain like statistic proof of that. Like if we think like the Finnish part, the true Finns or whatever they're called nowadays.
Finns party.
Yeah, true Finns, whatever. Perussuomalaiset, which is the right-wing party today in Finland. And their opinions are not kosher anymore. You know, people are criticizing them for their racism and their racistic views. But if you go back to the 80s and 90s, so that was like kosher, that was normal. Like social democrats, National Coalition Party members were using that kind of language. I pretty often go to the Helsingin Sanomat, which is the biggest newspaper in Scandinavia, Finnish newspaper, their archives that I find on the net, and then I put some words, like very racistic words, and they were very commonly used in Helsingin Sanomat, for instance, in the beginning of the early 90s. And the politicians were using the third of language, and now they're not using it. So the fact that we actually are criticizing the the right-wing politicians is a good sign, you know, because that's not normal anymore.
Yes, we're making progress.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
We'll come back to politics a little later on in the program. I just want to move us on to something a bit more personal, perhaps.
Sure.
In a column you wrote last year, you talk about being a very young and impressionable 20-year-old intern at a radio station where there was apparently some inappropriate behavior taking place. And you headlined the piece by saying that by staying silent, you supported a culture of harassment. Do you think anything has changed in the past 20 years?
A lot of has changed. And then we've done a lot of progress. Finland is a good sign. The things that have taken place in Finland, that have happened in Finland, have been good, pretty good. Then I have to admit that I follow the Swedish discussion a lot. And Swedes, they tend to exaggerate a bit this whole phenomenon. So it's not like the things that have happened in Finland are pretty good.
Yeah.
But like I remember I was 19 years and I started as a intern first, and then I was working on the morning show, which was my dream job. I was 19 years old, and then I just everybody knew about this guy that was like having sex with 40-15-year-old fans. Everybody knew. I never saw it, but everybody knew it. And when I was like 19, I thought that this is the code. This is like how everybody's doing. And like afterwards, now 20 years back, it was like normal, which is stupid. So that's what I meant, that I didn't do anything. But on the other hand, I don't know what I would have done.
Along the same line, you recently wrote a piece about the objectification of women or men in women's magazines, and you talked about the double standards you see on how men are treated when it comes to sexual matters versus women. Could you go through that real quick?
That's pretty complicated. I admit that women come across very much more sexual harassment. That's not the point. But I have to say that men do, men come across that as well. And that's a bit different, but I'm very, I would not like to start mansplaining about sexual harassment that men are experiencing, because there's always the difference, because men are not, there's not the threat of violence when it comes to men, usually. But I've been hit by by my ex-girlfriends, for instance. They have been violent towards me, physically violent.
Yeah.
I've never been that myself, but that's not, of course, empiric evidence. That's just my story. But that has happened. But that also has got something to do with the status that I'm a public person, for instance. So I have like been. Women have suggested sex for me, for instance, openly, given to look at me, given the fact how I looked, and still that happens. And they kind of might think that I'm like property, because I'm public.
Because they're
person.
Up there.
Yeah. But and I kind of understand, I didn't accept it, but I understood the logic behind that. And women come across that.
Well, real quick, one of the things that you mentioned in that piece were the fact that men have to deal with issues, for example, where their manhood is, you know, you can joke about things like that. So people can say things about President Trump having small hands, referencing other parts. And that's still okay for men's.
Yeah. Trump is a very interesting case. I was in the United States when he got chosen. I was at the wrong party because I was participating in the Hillary Clinton party because I thought that she was going to win. And
I guess you were not alone.
Yeah, and actually I'm a fiscal Republican. I'm not like Democrat. I'm fiscal Republican. But still I would have voted for Hillary Clinton. But speaking of Trump, so I hate the fact that we are criticizing, for instance, his looks, how his hair looks like, and there was this one artist that made a like funny picture of Mr. Trump having a small dick. Mm. Are we allowed to say dick here?
Probably not.
Yeah. This is still Finland. Okay, penis, whatever.
It's, well, it's also the public broadcast.
Yeah. But like, then I started thinking about that. Like, if you want to say something mean about Donald Trump, is it that he has got a small penis? He might have a large penis, you know, and he can still be an idiot. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that might.
Well, I think what people latched onto on that one was that it really bothered him.
Yeah, I know. And the debate where somebody was criticizing, was it Ted Cruz who was criticizing his hands, which
right.
was like a stupid discussion.
And hands is a metaphor for other body parts. But
But do you think, okay, really quick, yes or no, do you think Donald Trump has changed politics for around the world for what becomes acceptable?
Yeah. Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, we have to leave it there. It's been good to get a little bit inside your way you think. Thanks for sharing with us so far. Let's turn to slightly different matters.
That's right. Let's look at what happened over the weekend. Mm-hmm. For example, we saw a couple of politicians apparently doing what looked like getting a head start on campaigning for next year's general election. And those early volleys already began to stir up the pot in terms of public debate. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Among the first to get out of the starting blocks were Prime Minister and Centre Party Chair Juha Sipilä and Jussi Halla-aho, the man who replaced Timo Soini as head of the Nationalist Finns Party. They blasted off with slightly different takes on that old chestnut that politicians often resort to during elections, immigration. Mm-hmm. Let's listen in.
It's only September, more than 6 months before elections due next spring. But politicians are already revving up their engines by testing platform positions with local audiences. Last week, Prime Minister Juha Sipilä got out in front of the field with a declaration that the majority of asylum seekers entering Europe were economic migrants, neglecting to cite any hard data to back up his claim. Yle did the number crunching for him and found that between 2015 and 2016, the EU granted asylum to 1.2 of 2 million migrants entering the region. This suggests that immigration authorities, at least, thought they would deserve international protection from persecution. Sipilä's comments endeared him to the far-right Breitbart News' London outlet, which reported on his statements. Not to be outdone, chair of the Nationalist Finns Party, Jussi Halla-aho, sought to narrow Sipilä's lead by trotting out his greatest hit number, immigration. Halla-aho signaled trouble for foreigners resident in Finland when he said government's priority should be our own customer base or Finnish citizens. Not to be forgotten was a call to end humanitarian immigration. Halla-aho has long been seen as a one-trick pony with his immigration rhetoric, so he was out to prove that he has the chops for economic policy, too. He tucked in a mention of strict austerity coupled with slashing public expenditures to rein in the budget deficit. And to sweeten the pot for the business sector, he advocated lighter bureaucracy and taxation for businesses.
And that was our very own Zina Iovino getting us up to speed on the politics of the day and what politicians have been saying so far. Thomas, what do you make of these statements? Do you think we are reading it is that this is like the prelude to real silly season political talk? Do you think that they're really positioning themselves for the next election?
I think it's sad. I think it's sad because if I was a racist, so why would I like vote for like light version of racist? And that has happened in Sweden as well. Like their national coalition party, Moderaterna, which is our Kokoomus, national coalition party, has come closer to Sverigedemokraterna, which is their populistic party. And that has happened with the Social Democrats in Sweden as well, which is kind of stupid because, like, if you are against immigration, so why would you vote for the light version?
And you're referring to Sipilä?
Yeah, the center party here. And pretty much...
Well, maybe people might want to... they get to have the platforms that a certain party has, say the center party, plus the extra bonus of not liking immigrants.
Yeah, exactly. But usually you either have to be have some sort of opinion or they're not. And I'm sure that Sipilä, Mr. Prime Minister, was like trying to please everybody, left and right and whatever, and that usually doesn't work.
Yeah, you can't please all the people all the time, as they say. Are we likely to hear more of that kind of talk as we get closer to the election?
I'm sure. Because people in every party, actually, I would say every party in Finland, they're in panic because like. Then you never know what sort of coalition you're going to have after the election because we don't have the same system as like Sweden, for instance, where they have the bloc politics where left and social democrats and Greens are on the same side and then the right wing parties are on the other side. So we don't have that. So everybody has to like think of the fact that they never know what sort of government is going to happen after the election, so that makes our political debate much more stupider than in Sweden, for instance. In Sweden, they not everything is better than in Sweden, but when it comes to political debate, so that it's much more intelligent, and it's also because I tend to look at a lot of their debates. And people actually say something there, like they suggest things. They have like they make their like budgets before elections. That would be our budget if we got chosen, and nobody in Finland does that.
Well, one question that really upset a lot of our audience was Halla-aho's comment that the only people in Finland who matter when it comes to governing and an allotment of. Well, I don't know how extensive that was, but our Finnish citizens. What about all the people who are resident here and paying taxes?
Well, he apparently is nationalist, and then I don't share his opinion. And for me, that sounds like weird and stupid. But that's his stand on that issue. For me, I don't, for instance. I like Finland, and I'm a Finn and a patriotic person, but still, like, person living in Tallinn, for instance, is closer to me than a person living in Lapland, for instance. Yeah. Both, like, mentally and physically, exactly. And I'm allowed to say this because I come from Lapland, or my family comes.
Okay, then it's all right.
Yeah. But, you know, my point being is that I, for me... For instance, Berlin or New York are much closer to me than Lapland, for instance. And I don't have anything against Lapland. I'm just talking about my own life. So nationalities, in that sense, don't play any role in my life.
In a different blog post column you wrote last month, you took aim at Finnish lawmakers' salaries. You pointed out that starting pay of MPs is pretty, quite a bit higher than that of the average Joe, and also higher than some entrepreneurs' salaries. What do you think MPs should be earning?
That's a very good one. Well, I think, of course, my suggestion was not perfect. But I'm pretty sure that the system doesn't work right now, because there are not any incentives to make better politics. The only incentive is to win the following election. And usually politicians become honest only when they announce that they're not going to be participating in the next election. Mm. And that happens a lot. And it's so funny. I know a lot of politicians, Finnish politicians, in every party, from right to left, and it's always fun to go for beer, for instance, with them, or for dinner, because they always explain to me that actually I would be that would be my opinion, and that would be my opinion, but I just cannot say that because I would.
It's all about the party line.
Yeah, and I'm not being like cynical. I understand them, of course. That's their job. That's their job. But given the fact that I'm like more like anarcho-capitalist. So the less politics, the better. So that would be my solution as well.
So you as you're getting to know the system and the people and the, how it all kind of grinds along, and many people in your quite public position have chosen to go up into politics themselves. You ever think about running for office?
Never. I'm never going to do that. I'm too impulsive. I wouldn't be a good politician. I'm too arrogant.
That just I think you're ticking off some boxes.
Yeah,
there,
yeah. I was just thinking. I'm sure I can think of at least one politician who's occupying very high office with those qualities.
The biggest office, maybe even.
I get your point, but still, no, that's not my job. But still. The funny part is like that the Finnish politicians are always complaining how hard it is to be a politician in Finland, and that's crap. Like they should like watch BBC Hard Talk or whatever, like even Anderson Cooper and interviewing American politicians on CNN. So Finnish politicians aren't treated pretty well.
Yeah, they have
too well.
A sweet ride.
Yeah. Definitely. And that's also because this country is so small, everybody knows everybody. So politicians and the journalists are usually friends, and it's kind of a show.
Indeed.
I'm sorry we have to stop here, but we have to move along. Now it's time once again to bring our audience into the All Points North discussion. As usual, we've scraped our Facebook page for the stories that have generated the greatest amount of outrage. First up was a Helsinki Sanomat article that we referenced in our weekday morning paper review about how wealthy people can effectively bring their tax rates to zero.
Yes, Mark, I believe the accepted term is tax planning.
Oh, is that?
Yeah. And if you're not doing it, you're probably not rich. Now, Sandruro expressed outrage, but Michael said that's no news, old news, maybe even fake news. He suggested that people who vote for parties and politicians that maintain these practices should use their votes wisely instead of complaining. Mm-hmm. Now, I always thought of Finns as quite well-informed voters. So does this mean that people are just indifferent to inequality when they vote to maintain, when they vote parties into office that will maintain the status quo?
The sad part of the Finnish election system or the Finnish system is that the medium salary of the Finn is so low. So that means that everybody wants to vote somebody that promises them something. And because I'm more well off, I always say that I want to vote for the person that promotes flat tax. I want to pay less taxes. But I still want to have less from the society. Mm. I don't want to have this kids box, whatever it's called.
The baby box.
The baby box. Mm. I don't need it, for God's sake. I'm an adult, you know. I truly appreciate that there's a system for people that need that, but I don't need that. That makes me feel stupid. They're like, is the government thinking that I cannot like buy a bed for my kid? Mm. Or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the nanny state thing, I want to have a nanny state for people that cannot afford that sort of stuff. But I don't want to have a nanny state for myself. I don't want to pay taxes in order to get something for the society.
Understood.
Okay.
That's quite an interesting thought.
Another topic, we have to move along, it rustled up some heated debate on our page, was an OECD report claiming that Finland's home care allowance is keeping immigrant mothers and kids at home instead of them getting into the job market and the kids starting early education classes and so on. A lot of people liked the idea of parents having the choice to stay at home or go to work. But Elaine seemed to think that the whole piece was an attack on immigrants, saying it's difficult for them to get jobs in the first place because of unreasonable demands by Finnish employers about the having to know the Finnish language. That's a theme that comes up a lot on our Facebook page in particular. Tuomas, is it time to shed the Finnish language requirements for work?
Depends on work. If you're a translator or whatever, so
perhaps not. That might be one of them.
Yeah.
But say, because I hear so many accounts of people trying to look for example, cleaning jobs. College-educated people who are taking cleaning jobs, and sometimes they can't get those because their Finnish isn't good enough.
That's so stupid. That's so stupid. Given the fact that Finland is such a small, Finnish is such a small language, so I don't care what language my waitress or whatever, my doctor even speaks. But that's mainly because I understand English. I understand that with elder people that don't necessarily speak English, for instance. Mm. But the system would be much better if we wouldn't require people coming to Finland to speak Finnish.
Finally, we also ran a story about a university professor saying that people just don't know how to be bored anymore.
Bored?
Yeah, and that we're just too attached to electronic devices when we should be having some downtime. Now, Pertti commented on this piece and said he's concerned that people simply don't seem to be interested in anything outside of media these days. And so the question is, what's your take on this? Do you feel that digital media have taken over our lives and that we'll never be able to turn the clock back to simpler times?
No, I'm very much like pro modern technology. For instance, I love my iPhone, and it's not the problem of the device, the gadget. It's a problem of how you use it. I use a lot of my iPhone, but what I do, so usually when I start in the morning, so I read The Economist, I read Guardian, I read the gossip newspapers, I read Helsingin Sanomat. That's what I do here, and my kids as well, they're using their smartphones.
How old are they?
6 and 10.
Okay.
So they've learned a lot. They've learned a lot of English, for instance, by playing and using that sort of stuff. But it's like it's not the gadget. It's not the device that's a problem. You can use it. The point is about how you use it.
How about social media? You addicted?
I'm not addicted. I have to admit and be honest that social media mainly use because that's the place to market my columns and my TV shows, and I shouldn't say it here because that sounds like stupid. But I wouldn't be using Facebook, for instance, if that was not that important for my job, because that's very important for my job. Because, for instance, when I'm sharing this podcast on my Facebook and my Twitter account. So that's pretty good for the show, and also like I'm sharing all my columns over there, and that's mainly how I use it. But that's also I have to add there some like personal content as well.
Yeah,
like
to humanize it.
Exactly. If I would just be sharing like my columns and my TV shows, so nobody would follow me. So they need to be something personal.
And that's not, you know, you don't have to say it like it's something to be ashamed of. You know, many corporations, entrepreneurs, people who are invested in their personal brand understand the importance of social media in terms of building up awareness and a profile.
That's right. Well, we got to move on to their next topic.
If you have something on your mind, just send your audio message to our All Points North WhatsApp account. Our WhatsApp number is +358 44 421 0909. Tell us what's on your mind, and your comment or question might be heard on our next show.
Well, now it's time to have a look at some of the other news stories that we covered this week. First up on the politics theme, a new Ule poll out Thursday shows the three main political parties virtually neck and neck in terms of voter approval at around 20%. However, the Left Alliance scored the biggest gains in this poll, and the Greens continued their downward trend, which pollsters attributed to recent high-profile controversies.
Finnish immigration authorities say they've suspended processing Afghan asylum applications while they evaluate new guidance from the UN's refugee agency. The move was confirmed by Finnish police, who tweeted Thursday that they would not be conducting repatriations in the near future.
Mm-hmm. And a Finnish national with suspected links to convicted terrorist Abdurrahman Buonanno contacted police in Finland last spring. However, media reports indicate that the man's whereabouts are still unknown. Police believe that the 24-year-old suspect might have influenced the deadly Turku stabbing attack last year.
A teenage boy and his parents were convicted on charges of fraud and money laundering this week. The youngster was found guilty of stealing more than 130,000 euros from an online casino and was slapped with a 20-month suspended sentence. His parents also received suspended sentences for money laundering offenses.
And police are saying that members of the public should return defective passports with upside-down watermarks. The affected passports were issued from as far back as 2012, and police said that the passports are still valid as ID and travel documents, but they warned that they might not be accepted at foreign border checks.
And Finland's chemical safety watchdog Tukes says it wants to limit the use of the herbicide glyphosate near daycares and parks. The agency said that EU rules force member states to curb glyphosate use in sensitive areas. Currently, the EU Commission must approve chemical substances before national authorities can issue sales permits.
That's right, Mark. And finally, in this week's roundup, Finland has selected the thriller flick The Euthanizer as its nominee for next year's Academy Awards Best Foreign Language Film. Euthanizer picked up 5 statuettes in Finland's local film industry awards. The final Oscar nominations will be announced next January, with the gala taking place in February.
Thanks, Denise. Now, don't forget, you can read even more news on our website at yle.fi/news. Well, it's nearly time to wind down the show because we're out of time. But before we do, let's talk about the weekend. You know, I've got plans to head out to the beautiful city of Turku, where I'll meet old friends and try to get in one last stroll down by the Aurajoki River before summer completely disappears.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, how about you, Denise?
Well, I'll be staying in, and spare me a thought, because I'll be slaving over a hot stove to prepare Caribbean food for some people coming out to visit this weekend. And I think it's the least I can do for people prepared to venture outside of Helsinki to see me.
Well, okay, maybe I'll change my plans and come around.
You're always welcome.
Thanks. Tuomas, what about you?
I'm going to a wedding of my girlfriend's friend's wedding to near Turku as well. So I'm going to get smashed.
Okay, you guys can meet up and do that together.
Actually, I don't drink alcohol that much anymore. I love alcohol, but given the fact that I'm 40 plus, so usually the hangover is worse. So that's not a good idea. But I don't need booze in order to talk to people or stuff like that. But I sometimes need booze to
get through a wedding.
Exactly, to tolerate people.
Okay, and I guess also it's good that you said that, because on the public broadcaster we should not be advocating getting smashed. I'd put that word in so we can keep our jobs.
Sounds great. I'd like to thank our special guest Tuomas Enbuske for joining us on All Points North this week.
My pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Don't forget to stay in touch with us on Ile News' Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram accounts. Our reporter this week was Zina Iovino, and Lydia Taylorson was our producer. Our audio engineer was Laura Coso. Thanks for joining us, and don't forget to tune in again next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to All Points North, a podcast produced by Yle News, a unit of the Finnish Broadcasting Company. For daily news from Finland in English, head to yle.fi/news and follow us online at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You've been listening to Yle News.